we love the Song Dynasty, exploring the history and charm of one of China's most fascinating dynasties. Episode 23, The Literati, the Song Party Animals. In this podcast, we're going to delve a little deeper into the social lives of the literati during the Song Dynasty to discover what made them such party animals. I'm Bob Jones, and in this Why We Love the Song Dynasty podcast, I'm throwing the spotlight on what was to become one of China's most iconic dynasties in the country's long and colourful history. Let's get some terminology sorted out before we get all dressed up and accept the invitation to a literati gathering. Make no mistake, if you got an invite, you were very privileged to do so. We should remind ourselves of what, or rather who, the literati were in Song Dynasty times. You might recall that one of the big seismic social shifts in the Song Dynasty was the move from rule by warrior kings and their courts to a society governed by a bureaucracy of scholar officials known as the literati. The military, which had previously had a major role to play in society, was sidelined somewhat. In came a new strand of people chosen through a civil service examination. These Neo-Confucian scholars saw public life as a calling, even a duty. However, where there are people, there will always be disagreement, and occasionally they had to retreat from political engagement until it was their turn again to rule, not unlike political party systems in the West. So, what did they do while they were resting? They had to fill their time with something. Many pursued artistic interests, painting, poetry, and of course calligraphy. Some of these activities often spilled over into their time on duty, often to the neglect of their official responsibilities. But the arts gave them freedom to express their innermost feelings and their wonder at the world around them, which was revealing its secrets daily through trade, exploration, and science during the Song period. They loved nature and spontaneity, and this was reflected not only in their art, but also in their daily lives. How art fitted into those lives, and how they fitted into the world around them. They also departed from the idea that their art should serve the state, and used it instead as an amusement or a form of personal expression. And this is where literati gatherings came in. There was little point in seeking elegance and noble and beautiful things if you kept them all to yourself. The people of the Song Dynasty could be self-satisfied at times, but that wasn't enough. So they held literati gatherings, aka parties. You could see a parallel in the art salon of 18th century France, which also flourished in later generations. Art appreciation plus, the plus usually being wine, women and song. The early literati gatherings were a way to celebrate, enjoy friendships and entertainment, and simply have fun. Several like-minded friends would come together, find a secluded spot in the mountains or the woods, or set up camp by a lake, go boating, or sit in a garden full of fragrant flowers. Sometimes they'd enjoy tea, talk about history, read ancient books, or recite poetry. They might wander around appreciating nature, admiring the plum blossom in the snow. Some would discuss the ills of society, morality, or spirituality. But more often than not, they would drink, argue, show off their skills, compete in talent or knowledge contests, and generally indulge themselves. We know about all this because, as we have found, the Sung literati left a vibrant record of their daily lives behind in painting, calligraphy, and poetry. Some of the activities you may well recognize and prove that there is nothing new under the sun. In fact, literati gatherings started long before the Sung dynasty. During one literati gathering in the Jin dynasty, several hundred years before the Sung dynasty came along, but displaying activities which would have been familiar to them all the same, saw 24 literati come together for a grand banquet. All the guests had to write poems. Anyone who didn't had to drink 3 doe of wine as a punishment. How big was one doe? We're not very sure, but consider it a very big cup. At another in the same dynasty, the guests sat on the bank of a winding creek. A 2-handled wine cup was set adrift downstream. The person sat nearest to where the cup stopped would have to drink all the wine in the cup and compose a poem. If they couldn't, they drank 3 cups of wine as a punishment. Think of it as a version of spin the bottle and pass the parcel, but with alcohol and poetry. As the ruling elite in the Sung dynasty, the literati had the power, connections, and affluence to throw a lot of parties. But there were limits. Among all the literati gatherings in Chinese history, the most famous ones must be those held in Lanting and Xiyuan. While the Lanting gatherings took place in the Jin dynasty, Xiyuan gatherings were held by the Sung literati. Xiyuan was the private residence of Wang Shun, a commandant and son-in-law of the emperor. He came from a wealthy and well-connected family and was skilled in reading, poetry, painting, and also playing chess. His excellent family background and talent was so impressive that he received an imperial decree from Emperor Shunzong to marry Princess of Shu, his younger sister and daughter of Emperor Yingzong, a priceless match. But how the mighty fall. He was later exiled because of his involvement in the infamous Crow Terrace poetry case. The Crow Terrace poetry case is quite complicated, but let's see if we can simplify it somewhat. Remember our Sung poet friend Su Shi, also known as Su Dongpo? Well, he ended up on trial in 1079 for the contents of some of his poems. The prosecutor's office, nicknamed Crow Terrace, accused him of denouncing the court in some of his poems. The big question was, had Su Shi used his poetry to criticize or demean the emperor, or give advice to his officials? The Sung dynasty was going through a bad patch, and new social policies weren't going well. During the 4-month trial, Su Shi defended himself. Criticism had always been possible within limits. Had he overstepped the mark? It all came down to the virtually impossible process of the law deciding the meaning of a poem. Guilt carried the mandatory sentence of beheading. Su Shi was found guilty, but because he was so popular, no one dare carry out the punishment. And anyway, remember the edict of the founding Sung Emperor Taizu? Scholar officials must never be executed. The case was important because it proved that there were limits to free speech during the Sung dynasty. There were lines you simply could not cross. As Wang Shun was a good friend of Su Shi, he and some other friends of Su Shi were all affected by the case. Much of what we know about the Sung literati gatherings we glean from the selfies of the day. The paintings detail who was taking part, crucially what they were doing, who they were with, and what else was going on around them. Let's examine one such painting. There are 16 guests depicted in the literati gathering at Xiyuan. We can confidently say that this painting must have been drawn prior to the Crow Terrace poetry case because of those depicted in it. There are 5 groups of activities. For generations to come, this became a standard way to show literati gatherings in paintings. Su Shi was the central character, seen writing. The rest were students or followers of Su Shi, thinkers, painters, calligraphers, poets, book collectors, religious figures, a veritable powerhouse of intellectuals gathered together in one place. This was a group of like-minded people who had common hobbies such as poetry, painting, calligraphy, zi, and music. Based on the activities pictured and the postures of the five groups expressed in the paintings, it is clear that their personalities, interactions, interests and skills and other aspects were carefully and elaborately arranged and conceived by the painter. No one really knows why these literati gathering paintings were made. Were they specifically commissioned? Was it simply part of the scene? The host at Xi Yuan saying, "Come over to my place. Su Shi can write a poem. You can paint us. We'll get so-and-so to do some calligraphy. I'll get the tea and wine in. We'll have a whale of a time." Maybe it was a power thing. Look at me. Look at my friends. Don't mess with us. Perhaps they are simply the celebrity magazines of their day. Certainly, they were copied and circulated, like Rolling Stone or Variety in America or Hello magazine in the UK. Needless to say, our hats go off to later generations who preserved these paintings or chronicled their existence. Certainly, without them, we might not have come to appreciate the flourishing artistic world of the Song Dynasty, with its exuberance, elegance, and yes, even with a hint of intellectual danger. Special thanks go out to San Lian Dongdu for their help in creating the content for this show. This is Bob Jones. Thanks for listening. Join me again next time.